about to actually ask you something. You gotta come up. Luke wants to take 2 minutes or a few minutes and just say something real quick.
Sure. I should have. I just forgot about it. So go ahead.
Speak up. Don't be nervous about it.
Can't hear it.
I like to say that during teen weeks, I always made professions that maybe one day I'll get saved. And it's been like that because when my dad got saved, I wanted to get saved. But every teen week, I thought I made got saved, but after I made the profession, it just never happened. So this last Saturday, the 28th, I was sitting in bed and just couldn't fall asleep. Just don't know why I couldn't fall asleep. And the Lord's like, you're not going to sleep because you need to get saved. The reason why I need to get saved because I was a sinner and I'd never seen it. So I needed to repent. And I repented to God. And I never believed either. So I said, if I can believe Moses, why can't I believe God? And I said that, and I took the deepest breath, and I felt so much better after that. And then Pastor preached on about Moses and about believing. And that night we read about Pastor's book, Who Moved the Goalpost, and it said that same verse, and it just gave me confirmation that I am saved.
Yeah, you know, we've been reading that book, Who Moved the Goalpost, and then that Sunday, he got up Sunday, and I could tell something was going on with him. He didn't sleep all night long. I said, are you tired? He said, no, I'm not tired. And he didn't end up telling me nothing until after church. I didn't know nothing. He said, Dad, I got to tell you guys something. And he told me basically what he told you guys, and then everything that we have been reading in your book. And everything you preached on that Sunday, God was saying that same thing to him that night. He's just laying in bed, and all these verses, he goes, Dad, all these verses just kept coming to me, one after another. He goes, I couldn't fall asleep. I was wide awake. My heart was beating. He goes, I had no clue what was going on. I said, well, why didn't you come and wake me up? He goes, because it was between me and God. It wasn't between me and you. It was between him and God. And he kept it that way. And I think he said he finally went to bed about 12:30. That morning, he said he finally fell asleep, had the best night's sleep ever, got up really early in the morning, had to finish, and then you come preaching those same verses, and it made him happy, and I'm glad to see it. Now we're to see what the Lord does with it, right? Because the Lord is the one who knows who's saved and who's not saved. And so, but he also prayed this, that Autumn would not get any sleep. The next morning, I go, what's wrong with you, honey? She goes, I was up all night, Dad. I just couldn't sleep. She had no clue that Luke had just got done praying that. And I was like, wow, okay. But anyway, it's been good for us to be home together. It's been good that I know some people may not understand what I'm about to say, but it was good. It's been good that our kids haven't been in public school right now. I'm not against public school. My kids have been in public school their whole entire life. But I told Amy, I said, here's an opportunity for us to look at our children. I want you to evaluate what's going on with our children when we have time with them, when we can teach them schoolwork, when we can teach them Bible, when they're home with us. I said, I want you to see how it is now with them out of school. And I'm just telling you, it's been an eye-opener for me and my wife to see the difference in our children and how they really are getting into the Bible. We don't even have to tell them to read their Bibles. They're doing it automatically. Luke was sitting down studying today, and he's looking up the word transgression and transgressor, and he's in there looking those words up and asking questions and just, you know, enjoying being in the Bible and stuff without having to ask him. And Autumn, her attitude has been so different with her being away from that public school. It's just been amazing because they grew up in public school. We put Autumn, and I'm going to be done with this, we put Autumn in public school. I think she was 6 months old. We put her in Head Start or whatever. At 6 months old. And so since she's been 6 months old, she's been exposed to being out there in public school. And I just, it has killed me for years. And I'm praying And you guys pray that it be Lord's will that we will be able to keep him out of the public school next year, and that we'll be able to homeschool him. I think we finally found a way to make that happen. And so just pray for us on that, because I definitely want it to be the Lord's will. But I'm going to teach on Leviticus chapter 2 today. Leviticus chapter 2, I've been going. Another wonderful thing about not with this whole coronavirus and my family and stuff being home is I go to work. I'm done between 11 o'clock in the morning, and I get the rest of the day, and I've been really studying. Really getting back into studying, really getting back into doing those things that I should, because the Lord just pointed out to me that I've really let that go. I've really slacked on my study. I've really slacked on getting into my Bible, and I let old messages and stuff carry me through. And I know a lot of people rely on their old messages for years, but I don't want to be that. That's not who I am. And God got all over my case about always using old messages to carry you through and such. And so as you can see, besides today, I've carried a little piece of paper like this with some verses on it, and that's what I've been doing, just throwing them up in the air and shooting at them. And they've been, you know what? It's been working great, because I believe the Lord has put me in that position.
Amen.
He's matured me enough to be able to not have to have all that kind of stuff. But what I do have in front of me today is a little different, because I have about 4 years worth of work sitting here doing the tabernacle study and doing the study on Leviticus, the first five chapters of Leviticus and the Levitical offerings and stuff. And so I'm not going to get rid of this, because this is something that it took a long time for me to do, and I love it. And so I kept some of the notes, because I can't remember all of it. Okay, it's just all there is to it. And so I want to preach on Leviticus chapter 2, and you're going to see in the confusion of people who like to change this beautiful Bible that we have. Right now in Leviticus chapter 2, we're going to be in the meat offering. Okay, and other versions of the Bible, they like to change it to the meal offering or some kind of grain offering and such, and that's not what it says. And they want to change it, because when the Bible's talking about a meat offering, it's not talking about an animal. It's not talking about to eat like a steak or anything like that you're eating. And so God makes it clear of what the meat offering is, and the meat offering is really the inside of, let's say, a piece of corn. Okay, you take that corn, you bust it open, and there's a little looks almost like a smaller seed inside that corn. That's the meat, okay? When they shake that wheat out, man, and they take the chaff and they throw that away, when they shake that little tiny seed that comes up for that wheat, that's the meat, okay? Why? That's a picture of God who's looking on the inside, not the out. Remember that. God is not worried about what you look like on the outside. Okay, he's worried about what you look like on the inside. So he's going to deal with that thing that's on the inside. He wants the meat of that thing. He doesn't want the meal. Okay, he doesn't want that thing. He wants the meat of that thing. Okay, and so also to remember here is when you're reading this, is it's an oblation. It becomes an oblation, right? What is an oblation? Well, it's different than a sacrifice. It's different than an offering. Why is it that? It's because when we bring a sacrifice, let's say we bring a burnt offering to God. We've seen that in the last chapter. In Leviticus chapter 1, we've seen the three different burnt offerings and how they were handled. That burnt offering was for what? Us to God. Now this here, this meat offering, is our offering to God for who he is, for what he's done. It's not any forgiveness.
Amen.
There's no forgiveness in that. It's us giving thanks to God. It's us saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. It's called a memorial. And you're going to see that word memorial in chapter 2. It's a remembrance of what God has done for us. It's something that we give to him, not because of us, not because he has to forgive us, but because of who he is. Okay? And that's what this meat offering ends up being. So let's read in Leviticus chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. And I'll break this down as much as I can. There's a lot here. Like I said, this took me a couple years to go through this, and I took my time studying it. And I just have to say this, please beware of reading stuff on the internet. Please beware when you're trying to study something. I understand you want to get a little bit here and there. Beware, because it's a bunch of foolishness out there. They don't leave the Word of God exact. And that's it. These are King James, people doing a study on the book of Leviticus, and all they ever use is NIV doctrine.
Yeah.
It's a reality. Okay, and it's not going to teach you what God. Well, I think the translators were trying to say it like this. What? No. God put it just the way he wants it, so leave it just the way it is. You don't need nothing else, okay? And so look at this in Leviticus chapter 2, and it says, and when any will offer a meat offering, okay, unto the Lord. We know this is going unto God. This is unto him. This is something special for him now. And remember, he just brought them out of Egypt. He's taught them how to build that tabernacle, how to set it up. He showed them some of the sacrifices, how to get the priests going. God has done all that. He's rolled all that out. And now here we are going to give him a memorial. We're going to give him something for what he's done for us, okay? And look what it says, and this should be a fine flour. And he shall pour the oil upon it and put frankincense thereon, okay? And so we see that this thing is not just any kind of flour, okay? You read those commentaries and you read all that other nonsense, and they're trying to tell you it's corn flour, and it's, you know, this grain flour, this, and it's that. Listen, it's the fine flour. That means this thing has been sifted over and over and over, because why? God doesn't settle for second and third best. He wants the best. Don't you think we ought to give him the best since he's given us the best, Jesus Christ? This is a fine flour. This is something that was worth money. You didn't just go give this stuff away. This was the top of the line stuff here that you would use. Okay? He's asking for that fine flour, so we know this thing has been sifted over and over again, okay? This thing has been taken, and it's been brought to a place where it can't be sifted anymore because there's nothing going to hold it. Then he wants to put oil in it, okay? He's going to mix it with oil, and he's going to mix it with frankincense, and I'll get into those reasons here in a minute. Look at verse 2. And it shall bring it to Aaron's sons and the priests, and he shall take thereof the handful of the flour thereof, and the oil thereof, and with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial, see there's that word, of it upon the altar, and it shall be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And so we see here that they're going to mix frankincense in this. And so this frankincense is put in there, because if you've ever taken popcorn, you see how bad it smells when you burn it? Frankincense, any kind of grain, you burn any kind of grain and it has a stink to it. Well, frankincense makes it smell like a sweet savor. Makes it smell good. God gets that flavor. He gets that thing. It's worth something, okay? And so that oil was probably most likely olive oil. Now, olive oil was worth a lot of money back then, okay? It was one of the priciest things that you could come across. And here, so we got that fine flour. Now we're going to take that olive oil and frankincense, okay? And we're going to mix those things together. Why? Because listen, when God wants something, he doesn't want your second best. That includes your time. That includes your tithe. That includes the study. That includes your prayer time. I mean, my goodness, the prayer time, people, fasting. Where has fasting gone? Well, I just don't know if I have time. That's the problem today. We can't find time for God. Well, listen, thank God you didn't live in the Old Testament, because guess what? You wouldn't be able to make it. Amen. You wouldn't make it today. And that's a reality. And so here we see that he's mixing all these things together. It's a memorial. It says, and the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons, and it is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Now, I do have to say something, because my wife was supposed to remind me, but she forgot. They're having a little correction. Last week, I misspoke the direction, the way the tabernacle and such laid. And Miss Ruth Ann was wrong about it, too. Obviously, she was right. But I went home and I checked it out. And so it's really just turned. I missed it by one. Not sure how I did that. I thought I had it right at some point, but I didn't. So I corrected it, okay? So I was wrong about the direction and how everybody was facing and so on and so forth. And I just wanted to put that out there that Miss Ruth Ann, if you get something wrong, you'll know about it. You quote something wrong, or she ain't letting you get away with it. But it keeps you on your toes, right? And I mean, I went home and studied. I left church and I went and looked. I said, my goodness, if I'm putting wrong stuff out there, I got to correct that, you know? I got to make sure it's right. And so anyway, and so look at this. It says, and a remnant of the meat offering, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to. The meat offering, you'll first take place. If people say, well, how do you know that God really wanted the insides of a plant? And so how do you know that's what really God calls the meat offering. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis, okay? And I can't rush through things. Sometimes I get crazy. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to show you a little bit here what God describes as the meat, okay? Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 29 and 30. It'll be very quick, but you'll see here what God calls the meat, okay? And there's only one time, just by the way, there is one time in your Bible that meat stands for meat. It's when Jacob and Esau, he's supposed to go out and get venison. And his dad calls that meat, okay? So there's one time in your Bible that it is called meat. But clearly it puts venison with meat, so you understand it is the animal. But any other time you see that in your Bible, you're going to see that it's describing what we're going to see here. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, it says, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed." It didn't say every herb-bearing plant. You see that? Right off the bat, we're going to see what he's talking about here. And it says, "Which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, in that which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to it shall be," what? Meat. It's your meat. It's what he's talking about. He said, don't stink. That's your meat. That's what you're going to eat. He's talking about the inside of a plant. He's talking about the seeds. He's talking about the trees. He's talking about the plants. Look at verse 30 here. And it goes on and it says, "To every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. Okay? And so we can't mistake in what God is talking about in Leviticus when he's talking about what is that meat offering. Okay? It's not meal. Okay? It's not just this corn stuff that he wants. It's the things that he asked for, the very innards of that meat. That's what he wants for. Because Joshua, you can quite quickly mistake that and think that you're going to take that whole corn and you're going to take that whole thing and that's what God really wants, and it's not. Okay? People have to be careful on how they're reading the directions. God is very particular on what he asks, how he asks for things. He's very particular on how he does things. Okay? And so, here explains what our meat offering is, okay? God explains what that is. He describes that for us. Fine flour is a flour that's been sifted over and over again. It's to take out the lumps and the impurities, okay? Isn't that what God does to a lost person? He sifts them and 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 he keeps going and going and they don't understand why he keeps going. Because he's trying to show people things. He's trying to get those impurities out. He's trying to get those lumps out of there. He's trying to make it the way he wants it before they get saved. You see, everybody thinks that, okay, because I've seen a few things here and there, this must mean that I'm saved now. God knows when a person is ready to be saved. If you're discouraged in this room, why won't God save me? Listen, God knows when it's your time. He knows you when you've seen exactly what you need to be. But let me tell you, until then, the sifting's going to come, okay? It's going to come. It's going to shake you up. It's going to bring you to the brink. I remember coming to the brink. I remember just thinking suicidal thoughts and everything. How can this go on? God knew. You know what, Pastor, I was thinking today? I wouldn't trade those 4 years of sitting in that pew for anything. I say that on this side. I say that on this side. Just want you to know that. That's my disclaimer. Because it's rough. It's rough. It's hard. Okay? It's depressing. There's a lot of things that go on in that time. But let me just say this. It's not abnormal what you're going through. It's the norm. But let me say this. Here's where you're special. Because people in churches are not allowed to go through what you are. Most of them are going to bust hell wide open. That's a specialty that we have here at Black Creek. You're at least allowed to go through that. And thank God for it. And one day you'll look back and go, man, thank God for that. Yeah, that's right. Okay? The sifting, because it's got to be a fine thing. It's got to get out those impurities, okay? And so it brings a person to a place of contrition. That's what's missing today, okay? What's missing today is, if you turn with me real quick, the Psalm chapter 51, I'm not trying to preach here, but this is going to go along with that sifting. And also there's another sifting that can happen as well. That's the devil. God warned, Jesus Christ told that Peter, the devil wants to sift you as wheat, okay? He's trying to shake him to the core. He's trying to get him to walk the other way, okay? Look at here in Psalm 51. Look what it says here in verse 17 real quick. The sacrifices, isn't that what we're talking about here? A sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, okay? How many people are sitting in the church pews today? How many are sitting in jail and prison today that have a broken spirit and a broken heart? That's how they come to the altar. They come to the altar over and over again, and what they have is a broken spirit and have a broken heart. Hey, think about the last time you got caught for something or something that went on in your life or some hard depression came about you. You wanted to do anything to get out of that, and you came with a broken spirit, and you came with a broken heart, but what you did not come with is that contrition. What is that contrition? A deep sorrow for what you've done against the holy God. Well, Dale, I've done that. Then why aren't you saved?
Come on.
Hey, Paul says, I believe it was Paul said this, you have not strived unto bloodshed.
Amen.
You have not tried to get out of sin so hard that you've started bleeding. You have not come to that place of contrition where God and you can finally see face to face and he shows you that. That's what that picture of that fine flower is, somebody being brought to that place of contrition. And you know what it says here? It says this, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You know what's happening in this country? Is that people, when they find out after many years that they're lost, they can't get all the old stuff they've been taught out of their head, and it drives them nuts.
Yeah, it does.
I remember that. I remember going absolutely crazy because all I kept doing returning is back to those old things, back to those people trying to convince me, all back to those old verses and so on and so forth. And that stuff would drive me to the edge. Well, God had to remove that stuff from me. Legitimately, I knew a lot of Bible, wrong Bible, but I knew a lot of Bible, and God had to take that from me. He had to take those things from me, and he had to remove those things from me. What was he doing? He was sifting me like that fine flour. That wasn't easy. That was a very hard thing to face. But look what it says here. He's got to bring us to a deep sorrow, a place of contrition. Let me just turn to one more place in Isaiah chapter 48. You don't have to turn there. You can listen. Write it down, Isaiah chapter 48. And look what it says here in verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 48, 9 and 10. It says, for my name's sake will I defer my anger. And for my, for my praise I will refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved and you're still breathing, God hasn't cut you off yet. But he's doing this for him. Watch what it says here. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Not the little pansy little things, and not the little tiptoe to the tulips, oh, you cried one tear. Oh, no, not with silver. Oh, no, this isn't going to be easy, because what he says here, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. This is not going to be easy, and God knows it, but he's doing this for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's doing it for him, first and foremost. He made that clear in that verse 9. But he's doing it for you. He's putting you through that fiery furnace of affliction for yourself. Why? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was the only thing that got burned off of them? The world. God's trying to burn the world off of you. It's the only way you're going to see that's the only way you're going to see godly sorrow is if that world can get burned off you. Well, guess what? It's not an easy thing to go through. You think a fiery furnace of affliction is an easy thing to go through? It's not. If that wheat could talk, when it's being shook to be made into that fine flour, that wheat would be crying. That wheat suffering to go through that. That wheat, you know what? But God knew that they had to go through that in order for it to be what it needed to be. What was it? Fine flour, acceptable to God. That fine flour is acceptable to God. The olive oil was poured, and it would be poured in the flour, and it was used to hold it together. Okay, and that oil, the olive oil, is a picture of the Holy Ghost in the Bible. It's not a funny thing that here we go, we have this fine flour, and it would scatter everywhere lest the Holy Ghost is poured on that and hold it all together. You see, that's a picture of the Holy Ghost being poured to hold that thing together. And then that frankincense is in the Bible represents prayer. But also, don't forget this. What was brought to Jesus Christ's birth when he was born? Frankincense. Why? He's the bread of life.
Amen. Amen.
He's the bread of life. It's right here, man. I mean, just say it. You don't need commentaries. You don't need dictionary. It may sound funny at once, but listen, it all comes together. Just study your Bible. God will show it to you.
That's right.
God will reveal it to you. This is something that took a long time for me to study, and I still study because I don't know everything. There's so much in the first five chapters of Leviticus I have no clue about. But it's exciting.
Amen.
It's exciting when God shows you things and brings things to life, and he opens your eyes to those things. That's the whole purpose of this, right? The whole purpose is so we see what's going on here, that the olive oil is being held together. That's because the Holy Ghost is keeping everything together. He's keeping it holy. That's part of his job. Then the frankincense was added to be placed on the meat offering to give it an aroma so we don't smell that burntness, okay? He wanted it to smell good. But you know, there's two places that frankincense and oil were never added to a sacrifice. The sacrifice for sin and the sacrifice, which you'll find in Leviticus chapter 5 or 15:5. Let me check my reference here. This Ruthann might be looking at me. No, let me check my reference, though. I'm just kidding. The first one is Leviticus 5, chapter 11. The sin offering does not have oil or frankincense. And also the spirit, sacrifice for jealousy. Numbers 5:15 doesn't have oil or frankincense in it. Okay, those are the two sacrifices that are minus those. Okay, because you can't bring sin to God. Can't bring that stuff to God. He's not having it. God's a jealous God. He's jealous over your soul. That's why you're still breathing tonight. So I want you to know that there's a love out there that you don't understand that comes from God. But he surely wants to teach you that. And so I just thought I'd put that out there. There's two offerings that don't have the oil and the frankincense because of what? That divine. What else is not in the offerings? Leaven. Okay? There's never any leaven in these offerings. Okay? Because God doesn't want them leaven. He doesn't want that in there because it makes it something that it is not. That's what knowledge does to people. Knowledge makes a person, it makes them puffy. That's what the Bible says. Knowledge puffeth up. Isn't that what leaven does? It puffeth the bread. That's right. God doesn't want that in there. He doesn't want you thinking that you're something you're not. So don't put it in there. Okay? He asked for that specifically. Okay? For it not to be in those offerings. Okay? And so let me turn back to Leviticus. We got a few more. A little bit more to go. We might not stay the whole night. We might. Not the whole night, but for the whole hour.
Amen.
I got to get back to Leviticus chapter 2. And we'll go on here for a few more minutes. And so we see that it's also a picture of prayer in the Bible. The only time oil is not used. I told you that. I got ahead of myself. But also the priest shall burn a memorial of it upon the altar. And they are to bring the remembrance. Look at this. It says here, and the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. You want to know what's so amazing about that quote right there? This is part of their inheritance. Remember, back in the Exodus, God gave an inheritance to all the children except for Aaron and his sons and the priests. They don't have an inheritance. Guess what their inheritance is? God. Here we have a sacrifice that is brought, that is holy, that God accepts as a good meat sacrifice. And guess who gets it? Aaron and his sons.
Amen.
Why? He's part of their inheritance. But let me ask you this. Isn't that what he gave for us in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That Jesus Christ could be part of our inheritance to bring us to repentance and salvation. But the problem is people aren't happy with that. People aren't happy with God as their inheritance. They want more than that, and they want more, and they want more, and they want more. You don't need any more than what Jesus Christ. You don't need any more than that. And you know what? Aaron and his sons were satisfied with him being their inheritance. Imagine this, a holy thing, a fine flour, and olive oil, and frankincense with no leaven was being brought, and they had to take out what needed to be done for memorial. And then the rest went to Aaron and his sons. And that came straight and directly from God. Could you imagine being that special to God? Well, you are. Because it put him on a cross for you. Put him on a cross for you. It's very special. God sees that as very special. And he wants you to have part of that inheritance. He wants you to have that salvation. He's not trying to withhold it from you. I hear that all the time. Wasn't God trying to withhold it? Then why did he go to the cross? Just to hold it from you? Why did he die? Why did they beat him? Why did they kick the crown of thorns on his head and nail him to a cross? Why would they have done that if he was going to exclude you? You're not the only person in this on this earth to ever think that God doesn't want to save you. How many times do we go yell that in the parking lot, Amy? God just don't want to save me. Oh, he does. But it's his way. Let me ask you this. Show me one thing so far that we studied in the book of Leviticus where it's coming from man. These are all instructions from God. He's not putting, the only thing he's doing is using man as a vessel. Realize that. That's all man is a vessel. We are nothing else. This is all coming from God. But I'm just telling you, go online and wherever else, and you're going to hear all this nonsense. Well, you know, the Bible should have said this. That word really meant this in the Hebrew. That word really meant this in the Aramaic and the Greek. This is what it really should have said. I'll tell you what it should have said. And the remnant of meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons, and it is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Most holy. He didn't say the burnt offerings were most holy. He doesn't call the trespass offerings in chapter 3 most holy. He doesn't call the sin offering most holy. He's calling this meat offering most holy. And he's sharing it with Aaron and his sons. That's your inheritance if you're a child of God. If you're not, you should get in on some. It's a good inheritance. It's a good thing. Okay? In the verse 3 and verse 10, it's a thing most holy because it was devoted to God and his priest. This is a part of their inheritance. Imagine an offering made so good by God being able given to you. And we have that. You turn with me to John chapter 6. Let me just show you this real quick. John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 6. Verse 47 through 51. John chapter 6. He says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. There's no hope he has everlasting life. There's no maybe he has. No, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. Verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and die not. And not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. How about that? He's the bread of life. You're seeing Jesus Christ. You're seeing a picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, in this meat offering, becoming this bread of life. That's given to every, God has given that. Remember, this was something for God. This wasn't meant for mankind. This meat offering was not meant for a forgiveness to come from it or something that we earn or we get from God. This was totally meant from him, for him, for what he's done. It's a looking back. It's a memorial for what he's done, for what he's going to do in the future. Remember, if you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus and such, we already see Jesus Christ back then. And God knew that someday people were going to be able to look at Moses and believe on Jesus Christ. That really tore Luke up the other day. Okay? Well, so when people tell you that the Old Testament and the laws and such, that they're no good, that you don't need them, I beg to differ. Because you do need them. You need to know them. You need to understand them. You need to study them. Okay? They're very important. And we're going to close up here in a minute. Look, it says, so the memorial portion was given to the Lord in remembrance of what he done. That's given Jesus Christ. Verse 4 through 9. We're going to read this real quick in Leviticus chapter 2. We'll read 4 through 9. Leviticus chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. And so here's what it says. And if thou bring an oblation of meat, offering bacon in the oven, it should be unleavened cakes and fine flour mingled with oil or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it should be a fine flour unleavened mingled with oil. And thou shalt have it apart in pieces and pour the oil therein as it is the meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in a frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And I want you to see here that in verses 4 through 9, an oblation was an offering strictly towards God. Okay? It was strictly made for him for thankfulness and for a memorial. But I also want you to see here that it's done different than the first flour. This one here is done in a pan. This one here is also, when they mixed it, what they would do is they would take a bowl and they would put in their flour. Then they would take that flour and then they would put in their oil. Then that priest would put in the frankincense. Okay? Then they would bake that thing, take it out, and when he took it out, he'd break it into more pieces. Then after he broke it into pieces, he'd add more oil onto it. Okay? Then he would give it to the priest, and the priest would bring it to the altar. Okay? And so it's pretty fascinating to see how they handle all these things differently. Okay? One's an offering, right? One's a sacrifice. That means, you know what a sacrifice is? It means you give something up for something else. An oblation means it's something that you're willing to give up for someone else. Okay? Something that you want to give up because of what something may have done in your life. What did God do in your life? Why wouldn't you want to bring an oblation? Why wouldn't you want to bring something to thank God for what he's done? But that's where we forget everything. And so here we see him, he's handling this, they're handling these meat offerings. They're breaking them up. The priest is bringing them to the altar and he's going to burn them. Nobody's eating them. Okay? Because this is strictly for God. This is not for Aaron and his sons. This is strictly for God. Okay? And so look at what it says here. No, we're going to end there. We're going to end there. Okay? And so, because the next thing I want to get in is going to be part two of this. And it's going to be quite interesting because here we're going to see where the covenant assault comes into play. Okay? And the covenant assault, it's very interesting in your Bible. It's a great thing to look at, and I don't want to get into it now because it'll go way past 15 minutes. And so I'd just rather save it for the next time that I get the opportunity to get up here to show you what the covenant is. Huh?
10 o'clock Sunday morning.
Okay, we'll do it 10 o'clock Sunday morning. I'm done, Pastor.
Yes, sir. You know, just count on the extent of this emergency. Wednesday night at 10 o'clock are going to be for what you do.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yep.
So this emergency is over.